Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Ann Nelson, your host for today's show. How important is it to have cash flowing into our bank account? Well, it is very important, especially when you're no longer working. And we can't rely on the government anymore to provide a pension for when we retire. So it's up to ourselves to put in place some measures, some investments that will return for us an income for when we no longer work. I'm excited to be talking today to Tyler Sheff. He is the founder of CashflowGuys.com. Tyler is a licensed real estate problem solver, he says. He's an educator, an investor, and syndicator. Tyler's been involved in real estate for over 16 years and now maintains all of his focus on investing for cash flow. So he's found out how important it is and now he's helping others do the same. So I'm very pleased to welcome Tyler to the show. So welcome, Tyler.
Hey, Ann. Thanks a lot for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a really interesting topic, cash flow. So could you tell me a bit about yourself and how you got started in all this?
Well, how I got started, Ann, is I realized that midway through life, I didn't have any plan for retirement. My plan was Social Security in the U.S., and I never realized that that certainly was not going to accomplish my retirement goals. In this country, we are raised to believe that we should work hard our entire life and then retire with less money. And that did not make sense to me. So instead, I decided I needed to forge my own path and make sure that I could retire, take the steps necessary to retire. So I did my research, and for me, I chose real estate as my means, buy and hold real estate as a means to, number one, allow for retirement so I could build my retirement nest egg, and that way I can have a larger income in retirement than I do now. And then also I could reduce and almost eliminate my tax obligation because I'm doing what the government wants me to do as far as investing. And that's what led to the birth of Cashflow Guys. We took it to the next level, wanted to teach other people how to invest in real estate. So what we do is we teach people how to invest as buy and hold investors, how to select the proper investments and all that. And the hook is that we are licensed real estate agents in the state of Florida. So we help them source opportunity, find opportunity, and get through the transactions. That's how we get paid.
And you've been doing this for a long time?
I have. I've been in real estate for 18 years. But I took a break from real estate when a couple of years before the market crashed, I was a fix and flip guy. I was the guy that fixed up houses and resold them for a profit. And back then I decided that I was going to just sell off the entire portfolio, go have some fun. And that's exactly what I did. Problem is I got hit with a pretty big tax bill. When I did that, I didn't use a CPA. I thought I could do my own taxes and that type of thing. So I sold off my inventory before the market crash, thank goodness. My experience from the crash is I got a huge bill from the IRS. So I got out of real estate for about 5 years. I went to work for the federal government in the meantime, the U.S. government, the National Weather Service on a ship, and I did that to get a steady paycheck and get caught back up on those taxes. The problem that I experienced is when you are a salaried or an employee paid on the books, your tax obligation, especially when you get over 100,000, gets pretty big pretty quick. And I also realized that during the time I was working for the federal government, they raised the retirement age for us from 65 to 67, which for me presented a whole bunch of challenges. That means I had to work 2 more years I was already in a job that was physically very taxing. I couldn't imagine doing that same job at 65. I'm 46 now. I can't imagine doing that job at 65 years old. There's just no way. So I really needed to come up with a better plan, and real estate became a natural fit for me.
That's a really interesting story. And I think that's the problem we're all having, because they are also raising the age in Australia of when you can qualify for the aged pension that we call it over here. And I think that a lot of people are now realizing that we can't rely on the government for our financial future. So how do you help people?
Well, what I do, first of all, what I discovered before I started Cashflow Guys is there's a lot of bad information out there. A lot of people that are giving information based on how it affects their wallet. For example, financial planners are a thing in the U.S. You can call yourself a financial planner with having virtually little to no training. So you get people out there that are making investment recommendations based on what best suits the person selling the product, not what works best for the person that actually has the funds to invest. So first of all, one of the things that we provide is we sit down with them and we spend a great deal of time learning about and helping them learn what their investor identity is. What is their risk tolerance? In other words, people that are adverse to risk, they probably wouldn't want to get into fix and flip type opportunities. We actually discourage people from doing that type of activity. Now, a lot of realtors would be more than happy to sell them a whole bunch of houses in a year so they could fix and flip and they get both sides of the deal and they can make extra money. But for us, we know better. We know that the failure rate in that realm is very, very high, almost like 95% failure rate. It is the highest taxed activity that you could possibly do. So based on that, the only person that would really benefit in that transaction would be me, because I'm the one making the real estate commissions for selling the houses. With us, instead, we teach people slow and steady wins the race. You know, buy a few properties every year and just hold on to them. Now, does that give me less transactions? Absolutely, because obviously we teach people to buy and then never sell. We find, though, that the educated investor tells their friends, and the business grows exponentially that way. So that's really how we make our money. And at the end of the day, we provide people with the knowledge to buy smart, to buy right. We always try to go in and get terms where we ask the sellers to what they call hold paper or take payments for their equity. Instead of a lot of these clients having to go to the bank, because in the U.S. you can only use about 10 mortgages with the banks before they shut you off, because you become high risk regardless of your credit. So we teach people, we teach people how to do it, but we also do it for them when we represent them as our clients. So we will go in and negotiate terms for the buyer to help the buyer get more bang for their buck. Does that make sense? The average person, let's say they've got $100,000 they want to invest. And they can go out and spend $100,000 and buy one house. And that's fine. That one house may generate $300-$500 a month passive income. They can take that $100,000, they can invest all of it in the stock market, and it will do whatever it'll do. But all of the return is based on the $100,000 in that scenario. We teach people to use the principles of leverage, which is part of the beauty of real estate, where we can take that $10,000, $100,000, we can break that up 5 or 10 times into, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 increments. They can invest that on several different properties. So now the return, if they break it up 10 ways, they put $10,000 into each individual property. Now you've got a portfolio of $1 million worth $1 million that's appreciating every day. So that $100,000 has a lot more buying power as compared to traditional cash purchases or the stock market, for example. Because if you're making let's say an 8% return, that return, or a 10% return, as the owner of a property, if you've got $1 million, you're making a lot more at 10% than if you've got $100,000. That makes sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. So if someone's there thinking, oh, this is a way to go, I assume that they're better off with a coach, with a group like you, than trying to do it on their own. They'd have a better success rate.
I would agree in most cases. Some people, I've met people that they don't need the coaching. They're able to be self-taught. I needed a mentor that helped me get started. I chose apartment buildings as something I wanted to invest in, smaller apartment buildings. And I did hire a mentor to work with me to help me get through some of the struggles and help me build my team and things like that. And I think there's a lot of information out there, but like you said, there's not a lot of it. Or like I said earlier, not a lot of it that's quality. So hiring a good coach or taking part with a company like ours that reaches out to people and helps them first figure out what they want to do, because most people, they have no idea what they want to invest in. If you ask them, the answer is usually something along the lines of, well, what gives me the biggest yield? You know, what makes me the most money? Well, that which makes you the most money also usually comes with the highest risk. And if, you know, you're my age or our age, and we can't take the same kind of risk that we could when we were 20. When we were 20, we could be far less conservative. We could, if we took a loss, we had plenty of time to recover from it. But I don't know about you, but I don't have much time to recover from it before I need to rely on that income.
Right.
And that's why people come to us and they join us and we do deals together, or we teach them how to do deals.
I see. So where do they start as far as what are they looking for? Are they looking at, I suppose they're looking at it with different eyes. They're looking at a particular return.
Generally, yeah. Usually, you know, one of the things that people have the biggest difficulty with, more so than negotiating, than finding the deal, than finding anything, is figuring out why they're really investing. You know, what is it that makes you decide that real estate makes sense for you? So we help them through that process. And, you know, a lot of people that they're busy, they don't have time. They were taught throw their money in the stock market, and some total stranger on Wall Street will trade away their retirement plan. They may do well, they may not do well. So as far as getting started, the very first thing that we do is we like to get them on the phone and have a consultation with them and really help them discover what their goals truly are, because that's everything revolves around that. If you don't begin with the end in mind, you're going to have difficulty getting in through any investment.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people are concerned about market crashes and things like that with real estate. So we talk to them about that. And, you know, one of the analogies that I use is if you invest in the stock market, if you send $100,000 to Wall Street right now, what do you get in return? Do you get a deed? Do you get anything? Do you get to walk in the front door of Coca-Cola and say, I'm part owner, slide over, let me sit down at the board at the boardroom? No, absolutely not. You don't get anything in return when you invest in the stock market. You're investing in, there's a reason why they call them paper assets. You're investing in air, in a company that you have no control over. So does it make sense to invest in something that, number one, you have no real stake in, you have absolutely no control over what it does whatsoever? And what we teach people is how to manage the asset or hire the people to manage the asset for you, so that dollar for dollar, you get a significantly higher return on real estate if it's managed properly. That's the key.
So what sort of returns could we look forward to?
As an individual owner of a property, if you're doing multifamily property, you're the owner and you keep your expenses in line, it's not unreasonable to expect a solid 30% return. In some cases, even higher than that, 40% return. That's solid.
This is a yearly return?
An annual return, absolutely.
Right. Sounds impressive. Tell me more.
Yeah, every deal is different. Every property is different. And the key is, you know, location, location, location. You hear that a lot when people talk about real estate. It's always about getting in the right location, and I couldn't agree more. Investing in a place that doesn't have a lot of major weather shifts, like I tend to avoid areas where it snows. Snow removal is an expense. That's an expense that is not paid for by the rent. In other words, a two-bedroom, one-bath apartment may rent for $1,000 a month in Philadelphia, and a two-bedroom, one-bath apartment in Florida of the exact same size also rents for $1,000 a month. Well, the difference is the one in Philadelphia has a snow removal expense that offsets that landlord's profit. So we talk to people about, you know, knowing what to invest in. We tell people, for example, don't invest in condominiums where there are maintenance fees. These fees tend to work like the stock market. In the stock market, the brokers don't do anything without charging a fee. And anybody that has done any research on investing realizes what the principles of compounding. Compounding cannot happen when fees are applied. Every time, if you've got a pile of money sitting on a table and the interest is compounding, the minute you apply a fee to that pile of money for any reason, the compounding process stops, then has to catch up again.
I see. And what about the, what a property is built out of, does that have any bearing on the buyer?
It does, as for desire to the tenant. You know, as a buy and hold investor, one of the things that people skip over is they have to think like the person that's going to live there. And for example, in Florida, we've got concrete block buildings and we've got wood frame buildings. Now, tenants, generally, the people that are going to rent these properties, they're looking for ways to save money, especially if they're in that middle class type person. And they know that it costs them more to keep cool a wood frame house, older house, than it would, let's say, a newer model concrete property built out of concrete block. So we find that wood frame houses generally don't rent as well as concrete block houses do.
That's my experience. That's interesting.
You know, places where location, is it near a school? You know, you got to think about who is the tenant, who's going to live there? Is it somebody that has a family? Or are you going to cater to maybe somebody that's a retiree? And in the neighborhood, are there amenities to suit those people? In other words, if it's for children, if it's a small family, is there a playground nearby? Are there good schools in the area? If it's a retirement type scenario where somebody may be in retirement that lives there, a senior citizen, as we call them in the U.S., is there good medical facilities nearby? Are there places for them to go eat and things to do and without having to drive a long way? These are the things that you have to consider as a property owner.
I see. And what about job opportunities? Is that a factor?
That's a big one, especially in the blue-collar spaces. You know, you want people to be able to find employment easily. I invest in two markets, and that's Tampa, Florida, and Memphis, Tennessee. And one of the reasons I invest in Memphis, Tennessee is exactly what you mentioned. It's the job market. There's a robust amount of jobs there. There's tons of jobs, lots of employers around, and they're putting a lot of money back into the city. So there's incentives for you to own property in Memphis. If you've got enough property in Memphis, for example, they can waive your property taxes for a period of time.
Right.
5 years, 10 years, whatever, which boy, talk about adding to your bottom line.
That's interesting too.
Absolutely.
So if we're investing for a long term, you're teaching people to buy and hold. As they get closer to their retirement, would they typically have these properties paid off, or are they going out and buying more, or what's the ideal situation when you're looking at getting towards not working anymore and you're relying on the income from these properties for your retirement?
Well, first of all, having free and clear property does yield a higher cash flow because you don't have the debt service. So the debt service that the amount of the mortgage that you'd normally be paying would be going in your pocket. That's a fact. And you do then have the ability to leverage that equity if you needed to pull cash out. You could leverage that equity, you could borrow against that equity and pull some money out if you needed it for medical expenses or things like that. The real answer comes down to how old are you when you start? If you're 20 years old, I would tell the 20-year-old, mortgage everything you can, provided that the asset will pay for it because the tenants are paying the mortgage. So there's no incentive for you to pay cash for a house when you're 20 because you've got 30 years ahead of you to pay it where the tenants can pay that off. You have the ability, you are in your prime in your 20s, let's say to your 50s, that is the ideal income generating time. So during that time is when you can be paying debt service. And in a perfect world, if everybody started it, let's say you wanted to retire it at 60, if you start, or let's say you want to retire at 50, if you bought houses when you were 20, those houses would be paid off at the age of 50. And if you bought a couple houses a year, like when you're 21, 22, 23, think about that. Every year, you're going to get a pay raise and a bigger pay raise and a bigger pay raise every year after that. Now, here's the problem. Most of us don't realize that investing makes sense until we're way past 20. I'm one of those people. And at that point, to me, I still don't really see a huge incentive to go out and pay cash for the properties at any point, because at the end of the day, when I buy them, they're going to produce a profit anyway. So if I buy a property, let's say for $100,000, and I only put $10,000 into it, I would probably have a net cash flow, let's say, of $500, $600 a month. At the end of the day, if I did that 10 times, how much more money would I make versus just paying cash for the property? If I paid cash for the property, I might pick up $800 a month in savings by not having to pay a mortgage. But at the same time, I'm walking away from, say, $8,000 in potential cash flow. You see my point?
Yes.
You're cutting yourself too thin, I think, if you don't let leverage work. I don't see any reason to ever pay off a property. If a bank's willing to loan you money on it, yeah, and you can make a profit off of other people's money, why wouldn't you?
Okay. So from an international point of view, do you deal with people from other countries? Do you invest in other countries like Australia, or do Australians invest over there in America?
Lots of Australians invest in the U.S. these days. And the reason I'm told is that it's very difficult to find property in Australia that you could invest for and get a monthly positive cash flow because the cost of property is so high in Australia. So what a lot of Australians do is they invest over here in the U.S. because in the U.S., you can make a monthly profit. You buy a property and all of your expenses may be $500 a month, but it rents for $800. So you're going to make, say, $300 a month profit off of that, where I'm told that's not the case in Australia. Australia, people are buying more for appreciation. In other words, you buy a house for $100,000 today and you hope to sell it for $115,000 next year. Whole different means of appreciation or of investment identity. Now, I'm looking at Belize as an option. That's something we've been investigating lately. We just came back from a week-long kind of a fact-finding trip to Belize. I'll call it a fact-finding trip. I was on a sailboat and I was researching the real estate market, I swear.
Sounds like a holiday.
Right. But Australians find it pretty easy. I mean, we've got, I work with lenders that cater to folks from overseas, Australians especially, is a lot of our client base we work with. They invest over here. They find they can earn a very nice return on their money. The key really comes into the taxation. It's finding a good tax professional over there in Australia that will help you work through the challenges, because there are some challenges when it comes to the tax part of it. But those challenges are easily worked through, so I'm told. And there are some podcasts, actually, that cater to Australians that want to invest in the U.S.
Oh, okay. Tell us more about your interest in Belize, please, Tyler.
Well, for Belize, the cost of living there is ridiculously low, number one. The Belizean dollar it's two Belize dollars to one U.S. dollar. So your buying power is huge. I think there's a ton of opportunity there. You can buy a oceanfront lot, let's say a vacant lot, which over here in the States would maybe cost you $1 million. You could buy that same lot in Belize for $75,000. The airlines have started catering to Belize. We've got international flights going there all the time now from all different cities in the U.S., Australia, all over the world. So they've really invested a lot into their tourism. And I think that by investing in Belize, number one, your dollar is going to go a lot farther. There's a lot of just tons of opportunity down there that's just ready to be had. Now, granted, with that said, early on, there is some speculation. Northern Belize, I've discovered, is more of the tourist type area, and more of the fishing and commerce is down towards the southern part of Belize. But what we find, though, is I think that the whole country is just ripe for opportunity.
Right.
You know, with all the uncertainty that goes on in the U.S. right now, nothing wrong with investing in the U.S., of course, but I'm always looking for other opportunities. I don't want to turn a blind eye to a great opportunity. And there is some political uncertainty in the U.S. and there's some economic uncertainty in the U.S. with our economy, as most countries are experiencing. And the nice thing about Belize is you're somewhat protected from a lot of that being offshore.
Right. Very interesting. So to sum up the show today, you're all about creating cash flow assets. So how do people get in touch with you if they're interested in finding out more about how to work with you and your company?
The best way to do that is to go directly to my website, and that's cashflowguys.com, cashflowguys.com. That is the best way to reach me. You can send us a text message through the website. You can reach us by phone or by Skype. We've got some tutorial videos and all kinds of stuff on there for people, and we just revamped the whole site, so we're adding a lot of stuff to it. I encourage you to go over there and take a look. You can also listen to our podcast over there.
Thank you. And I see that you're a master facilitator for Robert Kiyosaki's Cashflow 101 game. How does that work with you and helping people?
We use the Cashflow 101 game as a tool to teach people financial intelligence. See, we're not taught that in school, at least not in the U.S. they barely even teach you how to balance your own checkbook. And I don't think anybody really does that anymore. So the Cashflow 101 game teaches you the principles of building passive income to the point where your passive income exceeds your expenses. And when you've done that, you've accomplished what they call escaping the rat race, so to speak. So we use that game as a way. We use real life examples, real life properties here in the Tampa Bay market, where we get 30, 40 people together a couple once a month or so to do these, host these workshops where we give people the opportunity to actually do a deal, but it's not real money. In other words, it's a pretend deal. So you can kind of test different investment strategies to see which works out for you. We let people play the stock market. They can buy stocks in the game, and then the market will fluctuate. It'll go up, it'll go down, it'll go sideways. Give them the opportunity to try different things, different combinations, a little bit in stocks, maybe a little bit of lending, a little bit of buying properties and holding them for long term to see what their flavor is. People come away with a clear understanding of what makes them tick from a financial standpoint. So it's a great, great event. We have a good time putting it on, and people just love it.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Well, thanks very much. If you want to learn how to escape the rat race, we'll get in touch with Tyler Sheff at cashflowguys.com. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks, Anne. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.